changing world. You can the voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence, always remembering life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before, and now your host, your MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, thank you, Mark, for that intro. Wow. I'm thinking that last week I shared with you a story, with you all, that I was uncomfortable doing the bachelor thing, or whatever it was, the auction thing, or the stripper thing, whatever you want to call it. And it was funny because I then got asked to do a comedy thing. And I don't fashion myself a comedian, but I was asked to be host of a humor for healing event. And it was held at a comedy club, and after it was going to include all these actually famous, a couple famous comedians. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. Either the universe has a sense of humor, like back to back, I'm doing this stripper thing, so to speak, and the next week or two or three, I'm doing this comedy thing, and I'm not a stripper, I'm not a comic. And so I was in situations where I had to experience something that I didn't know if I was comfortable experiencing. Well, I knew I wasn't comfortable. I just knew I'm not comfortable. But I didn't say no, and I figured, you know, that's our show. Really, that's our show, is putting ourselves out there and allowing life to change, especially when we put something out saying this is what we want, and we want to be able to affect change in so many different areas. And so here are the areas where I was being asked to affect change. So I had to be me in those situations. And it was interesting, in the heels of a friend of mine who said, Filippo, I'm really surprised at you about the whole stripper type of situation, where she said, you know, you are life changes. Everywhere you go, life changes. So you are in this situation with all these women, and they're looking for to bid on men who are putting themselves out there in a certain way, and that way you're uncomfortable with. But there is a way where you can put yourself out there and watch what happens. Well, obviously, it happened. I got up there, and I, as you know, I didn't dance or anything. I just stood there, and I sang. And then the bidding started, and I was surprised it went as high as it did. And I thought, wow, great, okay. Well, the same thing with the comedy club. Well, actually, before I move forward, so these women came up to me and said, wow, you know, you brought romance, you brought love, and all that stuff. Well, in this comedy club, I thought, what am I bringing? Sure, some people say I'm funny, and sometimes I agree. But what am I bringing to this comedy club? And I thought, you know what? Bring yourself, and all of yourself, and find the commonality, because what our show is about is bridging a gap between the things that I've learned and the things that people don't get to experience on a daily basis. So it's interesting how the person that invited me to do this event said, you have to understand, the people in this audience, in this particular city, at this particular comedy club, are going to be very conservative. And so you're, you know, the things that you know and the things that you talk about on your show and all that is going to be really foreign to them. So go easy on them. And that just brought it all home to me, because I thought, that's what our show is about. This is who our show is for. It's for everybody, but even these people. But the irony of it is I used to be one of these people, very much like them, as a matter of fact. And so instantly I figured it out. I thought, I know exactly what I'm going to say, because I was one of them. And in so many ways, I still am. So when they introduced me on stage, I stood up there, and of course, those of you who've seen my picture or know me personally or seen me live know I've got long hair, and I dress fairly casually, and I come across fairly comfortable, casual kind of person, friendly and all that. well, wasn't always like this. And so I stood on that stage and I said, the very first words out of my mouth were, I have a confession to make. It wasn't long ago that I didn't have long hair. My hair was very short. And I didn't dress like this. I dressed in a suit with a white shirt and a power tie. And I used to work at a 9-to-5 job. And that was my life. And the way I said it, people laughed, and you know, there was some huzza huzza going on, and so I told them that here I was working for IBM, and somebody said, you know, Filippo, you seem like a fish out of water. And this was years after I'd been there, and they said, you should go see a clairvoyant. And I didn't even know what the word meant at the time. And everybody laughed, and they said, oh, is that one of those psychic people or whatever? And she's, and this lady says, no, I know this lady who's a clairvoyant, and she'll help you with where you are or where you should be, or because there's something about you that just doesn't fit here. And everybody agreed that I didn't fit there. But I had for many years. I had done very well, and I'd been moving up within the company, so I wasn't sure how to take that, frankly. But the point of all this is that I went to go see her. And she told me all these odd things, things that actually I'm doing now, which is kind of interesting. But the funny thing is that when I came back, everybody wanted to know what was going on, like what she's saying and what was it like. And it was interesting that I had to temper it because, frankly, I thought it was a little weird myself. But I had to temper it and find a way to share it with them what I had experienced and what it felt like and what she said, and then sharing it with my family. I was doing the same thing, and I got hooked, and I started going and going to psychics and astrologers and just figuring out all this stuff. And I'd come back and I'd share it with these people, and my friends who were conservative just like I was. And they'd say, wow, you make it sound interesting, or you make it sound normal, or you make it sound palatable. And I don't know if I realized it then, but now years later, as we're doing this show, bridging that gap between the person I was who didn't know any of this, who didn't believe any of this, who didn't understand, who didn't care, to the person I am now, who has explored all of these different philosophies and ideas and spoken to so many people and learned and read so much and now interviewed so many people and now bringing that to an audience of people that were like me. And most of them, believe it or not, so many of you all and the people that I encounter and the people at this event, the Comedy Club, hungry for this kind of information. So after I said that, it level set. I didn't say it in that detail, but it level set. It's saying, I know where you are, and it's okay. And it almost made them feel comfortable that, okay, we can trust this guy. He's one of us, because indeed I am. And yet I'm very comfortable also in the woo-woo world of all this other stuff. And we can be so much more than just one way. And what I like about our show is exactly what happened in that comedy club when I allowed myself to be myself, which ends up being this bridge between what I like to say, woo-woo, and you, bringing some of this stuff that I get to live with on a daily day in and day out basis. And some of you, in the 9-to-5 jobs and in the work that you're doing or the lives that you lead with families and all that, don't get to have this. And so being able to go through some of the stuff and saying, oh, this doesn't make sense to me, I'm not going to present it, but this does, or this doesn't make sense, but I can present it in this way, is a pleasure for me and something that I feel, and we all feel here at Life Changes, that is very necessary. And obviously you all do too, because we're getting all kinds of emails and people sharing their stories of the experiences that they've had just from listening to us or coming to our live events. And speaking of our live events, if you haven't seen the video of the testimonials of all the people that have shared what they experienced at our live events, you can see that on our Facebook page, at facebook.com/lifechangeswithfilippo, and you can also see it on YouTube. We're very proud of that. These were people that, unsolicited, we were just doing testimonials, and they came willingly, happily giving these testimonials. So we're very proud of that, and thank you all who were a part of that. So it's interesting that I share that story today because our guest today is doing a similar thing, bridging some new ideas with traditional ideas and helping big business in a way come into this next millennium, this new way of doing things in the new paradigm of doing business. And the beauty of what he's doing now is that he's not only doing it for big business, but has found a way to make it available to small businesses as well. And this is what we're going to be talking about today. And it's interesting because our guest also happens to be my older brother. He's Peter Vultaggio and is one of the most sought-after business consultants in the world today. He is the CEO and co-founder of the Lumi Company, LLC, a successful international management and workforce development company. Fortune 100, 500, and smaller entrepreneurial companies seek him out for his amazing ability to provide results in increased productivity, employee engagement, and performance to business strategy. With a client list too long to mention, a few have been included: Microsoft, PepsiCo, Chevron, Lockheed Martin, Oracle, Toyota, Starwood Hotels, Merck, Texas Instruments. I could just go on and on. Johnson & Johnson. Actually, I know all of these. Kraft and Charles Schwab and Honeywell. It goes on and on. With 25 years of experience in business and consulting, he has also designed extraordinary workbooks, concepts, and tools as part of the Lumi Company that are currently used as by organizations throughout North America, South America, Europe, and Asia. Peter Vultaggio is also a contributing author in the 2009 Pfeiffer Manual of Management Development and an active member in the World Future Society. I also know that he is a program developer and an author of a book that hopefully will be coming out soon. He will, in this show, help us understand how our businesses can be green, how they can be socially conscious, and he's changing the way businesses, big and small, look at their human resources. I welcome Peter Vultaggio, my brother, to the show.
Thank you, Filippo. Great to be here. Thanks for having me here on this groundbreaking program.
You know, it is groundbreaking for me, that's for sure. I actually wrote on Facebook that when we were children, we used to play radio, and then you went off to become this big, successful CEO and consultant, and I'm still playing radio.
And now evidently so am I.
Well, it's good to play with you again. Well, I've been following your career, one can say, since I was born. And what's fascinating to me as I follow it is all the twists and turns that your life has taken you that bring you to the conclusions about business that you are able to come to. And so people that I know of have said, wow, how can your brother do that? And how? And I think it's some of the experiences that you've had that have gotten you there. Now, without getting into too many of the things that happened when we were kids, or actually you can leave out the things that happened with me. How did you come into consulting, first of all?
Well, it may be helpful to know that I actually, by training, am a biomedical engineer, so my mind was developed from an analytical perspective, but I got into the business world very early on in my career. In fact, I got into management very early on and realized that the analytical abilities that I learned in engineering school were not serving me in dealing with people. And not to make it too crudely, but when you're working with a person or any animal and you have them opened up on a table, and if something's not working according to textbook, you know how to fix it. You know how to replace it or bypass it. When you sew them up and they're walking around, they don't go by textbook. And that was frustrating for those of us that go through a technical type of training. There's one right answer, everything else is wrong. When you're managing people, when you're running a business, which is really a social entity, that's what organizations are, they don't go by textbook. So what I did is I took my analytical abilities from my engineering training and married it with my graduate work and experience in management and human resources, and came up with the approach that I think is going to help raise the level of how organizations operate in the 21st century.
Well, you already know it has helped because you've worked with all these companies, and I know you haven't introduced too many of or all of your ideas, and so I don't know what we can or can't talk about, but how did you end up getting into consulting, though? I mean,
well, because the results were there. So I'm now managing groups of organizations, whether they're work groups or an entire department, and the rest of the organization wants to know how come you're getting the results that you're getting. And I took it as a lab. I just kept experimenting with new techniques, new approaches, and then figuring out how to be able to put it simply so that I can remember how to do it again next time. And they said, hey, can you do that for everybody else? And that's how I got into the consulting and training, is to say, well, I know how to do it for me. How do I help you do it in your organization? And that was the entry point. I got bit by that bug.
Well, obviously, people have sought you out, and they're bit as well. And how, so all of that makes you different and it makes your approach different, but in practical terms, can you give us a couple things that really stand out as that's different? Consultants don't usually do that.
Well, there's a lot of areas that we can get into. Just briefly, one of the points that needs to come out is that we cannot manage organizations in the 21st century the way we've been running them in the 20th century. In fact, much of how management is done is actually based off of, and I talk about this in my talks, in the seminars that I run, off of 19th century management concepts. So what we're needing now, since it's a different workforce and it's a different work environment and business environment, is we're needing practices that are able to get more out of the people that make up the organization. So I'm talking about things like how to get work done in a collaborative way, how to get creativity out of people, how to be more forward thinking, and so on. So this links to engagement, this links to the fulfillment levels, and I can give you lots of specific stories as we have time on those.
Actually, I know that, and I love your stories, actually. And every time we're talking about these kinds of subjects, it makes me think of when I used to be in the corporate world, and how things would have been so much different with your philosophies. And what I'm excited about is to know that this is out there, or you're getting this out there.
That's right.
So one of the ways that you're getting this out there is through software. And this is unique in many ways, actually. See, because right now people hire you and it's you going with your ideas and it's just you.
It's an old model. We've got a group of consultants that will actually travel. We ship our tools, our workbooks, all over the world. It's chewing up a lot of resources. That is there a better way of being able to get these technologies out there, these people technologies, without having to put somebody in a classroom, without having to fly somebody someplace physically? And the best solution to that is through software. Not even. It's really a web-based solution. And so now anybody located anywhere in the world that can log into our server will have access to a couple of dozen tools that are specific to how to run an organization, how to lead a group of people, how to set up teams, how to solve problems, and so on, without having to go through any training. And so now we can raise the standards of how we manage organizations without having to go through training or even online learning.
You know, that's the interesting thing to me, and it's mind-boggling, because everything that I've done, again, in the corporate world or even in my small businesses, you have to take a course that teaches you how to do something, and then you have to use it on your people or teach them, and so and so on and so forth. So, but you, the thing about this, and I haven't gotten to experience the program yet, but what you're saying is that you don't need training. You just open it up, and all of a sudden, you're productive.
That's right.
You're more than productive. You've got answers that you never had at your fingertips before.
Well, and it links to everything the organizations are looking for right now, which is how do I make my leaders feel competent, feel confident, and then if they are, the workforce will have confidence in their leadership because they know what they're doing, they know where they're going, they know how to help take people there, help people take the organization there. And we can do that without actually going through training on some of these fundamentals. There are some things that need to be done in person regarding training, for example, increasing communication skills and so on. There are some aspects that you need to do face-to-face. The rest of this does not have to be done through videotapes, case studies, multi-day learning events. We can get you up and running literally with your own problems and decisions within minutes of actually being online.
I think that's incredible. And one of the things that, of course, we've been on the air for a while, and just because you're my brother, we haven't put you on the show. But when we learned about, as you're putting the marketing tools together and all that, that there are a couple things that really resonated with us. For example, the green, that this is a more green way of doing business and of learning and growing. And that, let's just talk about that because there were a couple other things that really triggered. So let's talk about the green.
Well, Filippo, think about this. Whenever training is held, as we have known the training model, you get 20 people, 30 people to come to a class. It's very expensive time. And the work that I do, they're senior level managers and organizations. They're paid very, very well. That is all time away from the job. They're in a classroom, a workshop, a seminar. They are being trained. They're being taught these skills in the hopes that it will transfer back to the workplace. And whatever gets transferred, you hope that they will do it well enough so that the organization actually gets a return on their investment that they have put in on this. They are traveling to these locations. I teach around the world with these global organizations. They will fly their business leaders from other countries to be in one place so they can learn these skills. Now, there is value in having people come together, but for a lot more important things than just having them learn some fundamental management skills. So think about how many people are buying tickets and driving cars and burning up resources, how many books need to be printed that will end up on a shelf someplace that people rarely will actually look at. Again, that's typically the training model. So you're talking billions of dollars spent on training, then all the resources that go around supporting that, and what the research has found is that actually a small fraction of that, I've seen some studies that have shown less than 10%, actually ever gets back to the workplace to improve the lives of the employees and of the organizations. Why did we burn up all those resources?
Well, I'm thinking back how we would get binders and binders,
yes,
and binders, and you go through this and you're tired because you're in a different time zone and you're falling asleep during class, and so you're not retaining and you're not taking it in, and then you don't retain it, and then you have to leave early because your flight leaves at this time or what have you, and then you ship all these binders with you to work, and then you get to work and you jump into work and those binders end up, the box is not being opened or something. So how effective was all of this anyway?
That's right. And organizations are missing out on being all that they can be. They're not tapping into the potential that already resides within everybody because they haven't unleashed the capabilities, the talents that already are within their organization because they don't have access to these skills. Only a handful can get to go to training and so on and so on. Now we are giving the ability not only to the large organizations in being able to unleash these capabilities, but also the small organizations, wherever they're located in the world, because that's been a common request. How do I get access to what you do? I can't afford to have somebody take a day off of work or to pay for the expensive consultants to come in and do training for us. How can we get that? Now they can.
Well, so now the small companies are getting the benefit of the what the larger companies get, and even better than what the larger companies have been doing. And getting back to the green thing, it's just not acceptable anymore. Nowadays, I think of, do I need to print one piece of paper?
Mm-hmm.
But to think and how many, again, binders and books are printed, and a lot of this is for people to just feel like they're actually doing something. But it's interesting how corporations are interested in the bottom line, and yet they don't take this into consideration. Or are they now?
They're beginning to now. Okay. Yeah. Now, that's a positive that's coming out of this economic downturn, is that they're starting to look at different answers, and this is one of the areas that they're looking at.
Well, great. That's great for the environment then, and that's one of the reasons why we thought, okay, we have to talk about this on the air. The other one was morale. You seem to talk about morale, like this software actually helps people with their morale, and I didn't understand that at first, but you were explaining to me how it engages everybody and they feel like they're a part of this.
Well, for example, if you're making a decision, typically we look at managers to go into a room and come up with an answer. And we're saying now is tap into all that ability that employees that are closest to the work have and be able to come up with an answer that not only gives them a better solution, but because of everybody's involvement, you have a higher level of commitment to following through with the solution. And what we have learned from brain science is the employee's involvement in thinking through a problem or a decision along with the leaders actually activate the parts of the brain. They're the same places that